Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. At the Barclays 23rd Annual Global Technology Conference in early December, Miguel Milano, President and Chief Revenue Officer at Salesforce, waxed lyrical about the performance of the company. He's a sales guy and he's a passionate Argentinian, so he gets as excited about Salesforce as he does about football. And at the 44th annual JP Morgan Healthcare Conference in January, Salesforce sent Mark Sullivan along to represent them. He leads the life sciences vertical at Salesforce. There's already a lesson in that around how Salesforce has built a multi-industry moat, but more on that later. These conferences tend to feature panel discussions where the moderator only throws softballs that are easy to hit out the park. But the transcripts are still a helpful opportunity to understand more about the bull case. And in a world that seems to be assuming that software as a service or SaaS is now a broken business model, we need to dig everywhere we can for nuggets of information. The last formal earnings release by the company was at the beginning of December, and if you really want to dig deeper and deeper, there are other transcripts available from around that time. But before you wonder about whether Salesforce is on a suspicious charm offensive right now, it's worth noting that they do regularly attend conferences and host special calls. There's a lot to read, should you so desire. But why do I care so much about Salesforce right now? Salesforce is recognized as the company that showed the world how to turn SaaS into big business. The company was founded in 1999, just before the peak of the dot-com bubble, and they figured out how to deliver enterprise-grade solutions through a web browser rather than software that you installed on your device. Founder Mark Benioff is still the CEO of the company. He is regarded as somewhat of an internet guru, and clearly we are not talking about an obscure or niche company here. Despite this track record, the onset of the AI era, and particularly the promise of vibe coding, has obliterated returns. Over 10 years, the compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, in the Salesforce share price is just 11.5%. That's still good compared to many other investments, sure, but an S&P 500 ETF would have given you a CAGR of 13.6% over this period, and that's without dividends. Fund manager careers are made and broken over just 50 or 100 basis points of outperformance. To see more than 200 basis points of outperformance by a diversified index versus one stock is significant. Or put differently, 200 basis points of underperformance by Salesforce. Ouch. The problem is that over the past 5 years, the compound annual growth rate at Salesforce for the share price is -5.6%. While big tech has pulled away and names like Nvidia have become bigger in the S&P 500, Salesforce has fallen by the wayside. And it's not just Salesforce. Adobe has a 10-year CAGR of 12.4%, splitting the difference between Salesforce and the S&P 500. But the 5-year CAGR at Adobe is -11.6%, so you can see that it has suffered even more pain in recent years than Benioff's creation. Adobe just happened to have a much stronger first half of the decade under review, as their adoption of the SaaS model came much later than what we saw at Salesforce. What about Intuit, the owner of excellent platforms like QuickBooks, MailChimp, and TurboTax? It's a great business, 10-year CAGR, 14.7% in the share price. We have finally found a name here that has beaten the index. But brace yourself, because although the 5-year CAGR is only -1.5% and thus the best of this trio, the year-to-date performance will shock you. Intuit has shed 39% of its value thus far in 2026. When people describe a bear slashing its paws at a share price chart, this is what they mean. Adobe is down 22% this year, and Salesforce has received a 27% beating. All bad, but Intuit by far the worst. In summary, this sector has been taken to the woodshed. Or, in a more South African context, it's been blixtmed. Fine. But does that mean they all deserve it? Or is there an opportunity here to bravely buy the sector or perhaps pick a couple of stocks? Because if there's one thing the market knows how to do, it's to throw babies out with the bathwater. And those babies can be very good investments at the cheaper multiples dished up by market panic. Note the careful use of the word cheaper rather than cheap, but also more on that later. So what is the investment case? I'm going to focus on Salesforce here, not because Salesforce is the only name worth considering, but rather because it feels most appropriate to base this discussion on the company that created SaaS as we know it. At the Barclays event, Miguel Milano put forward a bull case based on what he calls the last mile in the agentic enterprise era. To understand this, we need to know a little bit about what agentic enterprise actually means. The reference to agents has nothing to do with black suits in the Matrix, even if it does feel like we are living in the future right now. No, it relates to the use of different LLM models to do specific things for you, with agents trained for a particular purpose and with strict rules. That's the theory, at least. And with reference to agentic enterprise, Milano is just reminding the world that Salesforce is embedded in huge companies worldwide, not just your friendly local startup. Now, for these agents to exist, they need to be trained on data. For them to subsequently be useful, they need access to that data. Enterprises care deeply about cybersecurity, so this creates entirely new layers of risk. Microsoft's argument in favor of Copilot is that it uses the walled garden of your Microsoft account and your critical business data. In other words, security is one of the key differentiators in this space. And it's one of the reasons why I'm not sure that a company like Salesforce just casually disappears in this era. Now, back to the last mile, which Milano reckons has four components. I'll run through them quickly. The first component is whether the data is actually correctly organized in terms of metadata. Don't underestimate this. I'm certainly no techie, but I have learned that AI reads data differently to how your eye may see it, as confirmed by me asking my co-pilot about how it ingests information from certain websites. It is possible to do this yourself with your data, but Salesforce has teams of engineers making sure that this works properly for all clients all the time. Doesn't seem very efficient or reliable for clients to do that themselves. The second element is execution. If I read between the lines, he's referring to things like AI hallucinations and how different models will do different things when presented with similar facts and prompts. As SaaS applications are effectively a type of standard operating procedure for a company, it stands to reason that such platforms are the right foundation on which to build automations, rather than just hoping that AI will apply the right logic every time if you give it enough freedom. The third component is the humans involved. AI cannot do everything. Salesforce already has over 150,000 customers worldwide with many more paid seats, serviced by 76,000 employees. That is a gigantic ecosystem of people who know and understand the platform. It doesn't seem very efficient to me for companies to be vibe coding an alternative and then training staff on it. And if you believe that that is possible and that AI will be able to do literally everything, including at enterprise level, then I've got to tell you that the returns on your Salesforce investment will be the least of your problems, because I suspect that we would be living in a dystopian catastrophe. On a lighter note, we now reach the fourth component, governance and compliance. This speaks directly to the cybersecurity point that I raised earlier. Privacy, access rights, and the like, those are all relevant here. The Salesforce view is obviously that AI cannot do this last mile. That is, clearly, the turkey voting for Christmas. They have to make you believe that, otherwise they don't have a business. But I do tend to agree with them. And it doesn't mean that Salesforce is blind to the AI opportunity. No, their efforts to be the last mile means that they need to plug beautifully into the agentic enterprise era, including with in-house agents offered to customers. Another point we need to touch on is the sector moat. I don't doubt that your friend who runs a techie startup with a team of devs would love nothing more than to save on Salesforce fees. And if they have some spare development time, they just might build something. At the margins, the AI era can hurt Salesforce because the last mile considerations just aren't as important in startups looking to save money as they are in enterprises. In enterprises, people are using shareholder money to make purchase decisions in a classic cover my you-know-what strategy. Remember how nobody gets fired for hiring IBM? Well, people definitely will get fired and probably sued for vibe coding with sensitive data. But they don't get fired for using slick new tools offered by Salesforce. And when you add on the sector specialization at Salesforce, the moat gets even more interesting. Do you think that the attendees at that healthcare conference are vibe coding solutions for patient data? When I record podcasts with execs at large companies, I always have to do a firewall test beforehand to make sure that the recording software won't be blocked by their systems. They have strict controls over their tech stack, and they only stick to the big names. And when the tech stack involves sector-specific solutions developed over the years and embedded in these organizations, it feels more difficult for AI to just come in and disrupt this. Is there a moat? I do think so. Could I be wrong? Of course I could. It's not called taking on equity risk for nothing. And part of the reason for the sharp sell-off in the sector is that valuations were steep. At the peak of the pandemic, Salesforce was on a price sales multiple north of 12 times. It then came down to a range of 6 to 8. Currently, they're at just 4.3. Now, free cash flow margin has always been a sticking point, as Salesforce is one of the biggest offenders when it comes to using stock-based compensation instead of cash remuneration, leading to a significant increase in the number of shares in issue over time and artificially boosting the free cash flow margin. This trend did start turning recently, though, with the number of shares outstanding actually dropping over the last couple of years. And to be clear, all of Salesforce's competitors also make use of stock-based compensation. So we are comparing apples with apples, and perhaps even to apple. With a free cash flow margin that has been as high as 38% recently, Salesforce generates cash. Lots of it. And thanks to the sharp drop in the valuation, you can now get it on a free cash flow multiple below 12. The average over the past 5 years, 26.2. Sure, SaaS faces some risks, but is it half as good as it used to be? Does it deserve to trade at free cash flow multiples that I'm more accustomed to seeing at industrial companies? I'm not so sure. If the market is wrong on SaaS, there is money to be made somewhere. And if the market is right, I don't think any of us have jobs anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter. It does make for a pretty interesting analysis in this space. But I've also learned that you don't need to try and pick the bottom perfectly. It does make sense to just wait for the momentum to start to turn. And from a Salesforce perspective, things like ramping up share buybacks and really hammering the message home about the current valuation just might be the way to do it. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.